you. He has a unique presentation. And Mark has a unique presentation. Luke has a unique presentation. And John has a unique presentation. So what I'm going to try to do today is continue our study on the Gospel according to Mark. If you find your place in Mark chapter 2, I want you to find your verse number 2 there. Or not verse number 2, chapter 2. And find verse 13. If you're there, give me a good Baptist hump. That sounds like a blessing. And the Bible says in Mark 2:13, and he went forth to the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto Levi, follow me. And he rose. And his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners. The disciples, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto him, them, verse 17, they that are whole have no need of the physician. That ought to make a lot more sense now that we're going through the coronavirus as well. They that are whole have no need of the physician. But they that are sick. You know, a doctor, he doesn't deal with the people that are healthy, does he? He helps the people who are unhealthy get healthy. Amen? And Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees, and they say unto him, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, and the disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come, and the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days.
Listen to God's instruction. All the babies that are killed in our country today
is because we're not listening to God's instruction. The reason why we have so many men that are not being the man of the house and leading their families and men of holiness and men of God today is because the men in our country are not listening to God's instruction. I feel like preaching right now. And I'll tell you something else. All the kids that we have today in our world, we love our children, and there's no doubt in my mind that LaRue County wants to see their kids succeed in life. There ain't a single person in LaRue County today that wants their kid to grow up and go to jail or be a deadbeat mom or dad or be a bum on the street. No, sir. They want their kids to get the best education possible. They want their kids to have a nice career and to have a better life than they do now. But I'm going to tell you something. All the disobedience that we have in our homes is a result because of kids are not listening to God's instruction. Dad, it goes to the mother, and it goes down to the youngest child. We need to listen to the teachings of Christ today. The Bible says that Jesus, when he went up into a mountain, and when he was sent, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them. And he said unto them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He said, you are the light of the world. If the light is set on, the light is not to be put on a bushel, but it's to be put on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. And he said, love your enemies. And he said, when they smite at you with the one cheek, you offer them the other cheek also. When they ask you to go 1 mile, you be willing to go a second mile. When they come and say, can I have your coat? You be willing to give your cloak also. We need the old-time religion back in our hearts today, my friend. We need that old-time Bible preaching of Jesus in our hearts today. There's a many parent today that's under the spell of the devil because they have not listened to the instruction of Jesus. There's many politicians out there today that are taking advantage of the people of God in the country because they're not following God's instructions. It's a heavenly teaching. It's a hated teaching. Look at what they did to our Lord and Savior. But praise God, it's a healing teaching. Thanks be unto God that he was willing to come out of the glory world 2,000 years ago and to be made man and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Are we listening to the teaching of our Lord? Now I've got to preach. I'm just in my introduction. Let me give you my message and we'll be done today. Praise the Lord for that. On these publicans and sinners. Now, Christ just didn't preach to the good crowd. He also preached to the bad crowd. He didn't just preach to the goody-goodies. He preached to the publicans and sinners. So who are the publican sinners? Who are they? Well, the word publican is a word that means tax collector. It was a person in the olden days of Jesus when the despised Romans came into the city of Jerusalem and the land of Judah and the land of Israel that was to be God's land. Well, they came in and conquered it. And God was willing, because of the people's sins and disobedience, to allow a foreign power to come in and devastate the people and humble them and bring them to a place of revival. Well, they didn't, because Jesus himself came and they rejected him. But be that as it may, the Romans had come in and they had taxes. And so when the people would come in, they'd have a publican, a tax collector. And that publican and tax collector was not liked. He was hated and despised. And it was even worse when it was a Jewish person that would support the Roman power at that time
and to betray their own people and their own economy and work for the Romans and collect taxes. Not only would they collect taxes, but that tax collector, that publican, to make money, would have to add a little percentage onto that tax. We see some of that going on even today, don't we? You can't buy anymore without getting taxed. Well, Lord help us, we're getting quiet out there right now. But y'all chew on that and think about that. But anyhow, and by the way, I pay my taxes, always have and always will. I'm for the American people. Amen. I'm for supporting your government and supporting your military. That's right. I believe that. We hang these flags out here because we're patriotic, not ashamed of that. You can be a Christian and still be patriotic. You know that? But I would say this. This tax collector, they would have to add a little percentage onto the tax so they could put some money in their pocket. And that's another reason why they were despised so much. They didn't have a good reputation. Their reputation in the world was bad. It was horrible. It was terrible. It was unpleasant. And there's a lot of people in this world today that are like a publican and that are sinners. And they don't have that reputation, if you would. They have a bad report. They have a bad reputation in the world. Why, even the church is unwilling to associate with them. I want you to read, listen to me. I'm going to share a couple of things about this. And then I'm going to get into the good news. And that's what the story here is all about in just a minute. Our passage today is in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark mentions publicans only twice in his gospel record. John doesn't mention them at all. Luke mentions publicans 11 times. But guess who else mentions publicans? Matthew. Matthew is the man that is central in this story. He's called Levi in other passages of the Bible. He was a disciple. He became a disciple. He became an apostle. He's the one that you and I have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is the one here that was a publican. Stop and think about that. In this story that we just read, and Jesus came to him while he was sitting at his tax at that despised table, and Jesus passed by his way. Brother Jason, I don't know if he's out there. Brother Jason's out there. He told me a wonderful story. When God began to deal with his soul, and he realized that he wasn't saved, and his older brother was saved as a teenage boy, and his brother got real hard on him and confronted him and challenged him to be saved, and he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. But he said that conviction and that thought began to deal with his heart for days and weeks, months and years. And it wasn't until he was working as a 19-year-old young man at an auto parts store that a preacher called in and he needed an old part for an old car. A part that he even thought wouldn't even have in stock. Didn't know the preacher. Didn't know him from Adam. Brother Jason was telling me this testimony the other day, and I hope he didn't mind me. I told you it would slip out somewhere or another, brother. Here it is. But that preacher came in there by the grace of God, and he got lucky to have a part that Jason didn't even on the shelf. Up at the top, he said, collecting part there. God works, my friend. The Bible and the scripture. That preacher came in there, overalls. Oh, I'm sure he looked like a sight for sore eyes. Coming in there and changed the whole dynamics of the workplace. And he came in there and he began to talk to Jason, that 50-something-year-old preacher. Began to talk to that 19-year-old kid and hadn't had a clue that God was dealing with Jason's heart. And that man passed by, as it were, his receipt table of praise God. And Jesus was passing by. And that preacher said, "Do you know that you're saved?" And he said, the Bible says that Jesus passed by the old seat of customs. I remember when Jesus passed by my way, as he passed by yours, friend. Is he doing that today? Matthew says, more than anybody else, how deplorable a publican was. Now, you'd have thought Matthew, if he's one of the writers of the Bible, that he wouldn't say so many hard things against his own career and his own life and path in life and the situation and reputation that he has. But see, the Bible is an honest book, friend. And contrary to what the world teaches, the Bible is the most relevant, realistic, honest book that you can ever see, buy, or read in this world. Matthew 5:46 and 47, Jesus said, now again, this is taken from Matthew, the one we just read about that called to follow him. Matthew later on follows Christ, gets saved, if you would, becomes a disciple and then an apostle, and then he writes the gospel according to Matthew. And he says in his gospel record of quoting Jesus, he says, if you love those who love you, what thank have you? Even the publicans and sinners do the same thing. And if you're only thankful for the people who like you, if you would, what different are you as a believer in Christ? You're no different than the publicans and sinners. The point he's making there is that the publicans and sinners, according even to Jesus, in that time, had the example or standard of morals and ethics. The and they are not people that you love. I want to be like that person. And then it says in Matthew 9, 10, and 11, that these were people when they were brought into this house and they fellowship with Jesus and the disciples, that the scribes and Pharisees were scratching their head and thinking, what does Jesus think people are? He's inviting publicans and sinners to come eat with him. You know, publicans and sinners were people that you wouldn't invite in your home. These aren't your home invitation kind of people. You wouldn't open your doors to these kind of people. Now, don't get religious on me, because all of you do that. You won't open your doors to everybody. Well, if somebody broke out of jail, you're not going to say, come on in, I got some biscuits and gravy on the table for you. No, you lock your doors, won't you? That's right. It's got quiet, but that's how we all don't just let anybody come in. And that's exactly what had happened here. These publicans and sinners had such a terrible reputation, a terrible report. And by the way, God sees deeper than what you and I see. You and I may we may cover up our sins or sweep it up under the rug or clean up just around the outside of the house, but the Lord knows what we sweep under the rug. He knows what you're watching on TV. He knows what you're watching on your cell phones. Amen. He knows all them things, my friend. God knows the friends that you hang around and the things that you do and the things you shouldn't do. And you may pretend that you ain't all that bad. You ain't the kind of crowd Jesus came to seek and to save. He came to save those that were lost. The physician today does not hold his door open to those who think they're okay. He holds his doors open to those who think they got something wrong. It's the people that he can help. But those are the scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, as sinful as the publicans. You know, they actually said Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. And I'm glad that he is, Brother Stewart. But they used that as an insult to Jesus. That's how reputation sinners had and publicans had. They said, Jesus, you're a friend of publicans and sinners. Church, I hope that we are a friend to the publicans and sinners too. Amen. Put that out. Rather than them to stay and be falsely associated with and pretended that everything is okay. Again, not a good reputation for the publicans and sinners. Matthew 21, 31 and 32. He said that Jesus, Matthew's quoting Jesus, even the publicans and harlots enter into the kingdom of God before the Pharisees. Jesus said he associated the publicans with harlots, the lowest moral class of them all. So you see the bad reputation they had, bad morals, bad ethics, bad dealings with God, bad dealings with their fellow man. Are you listening today? Just everything seemed bad. All was hopeless. All was dark. But it seemed like they just might as well just get worse, because there's no use of trying to get any better. But even in this dark situation, Jesus can change it and make it as bright as the day that you and I see today. All of this changed for Matthew. All of it changed. Even in the presentation of these facts that we're sharing with you today is a beautiful testimony of how God can change a person's life. Have you got a bad reputation today with God? Well, you can get saved today. Is Jesus passing by your driver's seat? Is he passing by the passenger seat? Has Jesus passed by your table? I know he's passed by mine, and I'm grateful for that. But has he passed by yours? About the restoration. Not only the restoration, but let's look at the restoration by the gospel. Mark and Luke speak about this very event that we just read in Mark. Luke speaks about it. They refer to the calling of Matthew, but they don't use that name. Now you and I wouldn't know, as I want to share with you, that this Matthew here, that Jesus, this Levi, is hell. Listen to this carefully. Luke and Mark, when they talk about the calling of Brother Matthew, they refer to him as Levi. And that was part of his name, was Levi. There was no dishonesty there, but they didn't call him Matthew. They called him Levi. Now, when Matthew got right, or Levi got right with God, and he was a follower, then his name was called Matthew. And so, after his calling, he's called Matthew in Mark and Luke. Does that matter that I'm sharing that with you? Because if we didn't have Matthew's gospel, we wouldn't know that Levi, the publican, is Matthew the publican. We would not know who that person, that disciple, truly was before he was called to be a disciple. Guess who gave us that information? Matthew. Matthew was not too good. In fact, he wanted the world to know by the inspiration of God. I want all of you, the record to be set straight. I was not a morally upright person. I did not have my ducks all lined up in a row. I did not have a good standing with God. I was associated with sinners. I was viewed as being associated with harlots. I probably was viewed and associated with drug users and alcohol abusers and substance abuse abusers. Are y'all getting into the message today? He was basically saying, I want you all to know that I wasn't what you might think I was. Before I got saved, I was a publican. Matthew, the publican. That's a touch of humility. We know that he became a disciple. And as we read, both Mark and Luke speak about what happened after Matthew's calling. They talk about and imply how much money Matthew had, how much resources Matthew had. As you read there in your Bibles in Mark, it says that Matthew must have had a pretty good house. Because when Jesus called him to be a follower of Christ, he must have had a pretty good sized house. If he had a pretty good sized house, he had to fit a lot of people in the house. And it says there was a great company. Well, he not only had a big sized house, he had lots of friends. And he had a lot of invitation and a lot of space in his house. He probably had a nice house compared to everybody, maybe even nicer than most. Bible implies that he probably had a good deal of money if he had all that stuff, because he made a great feast, the Bible says. Now, Mark and Luke tell us that. But if you read Matthew's testimony, he just says he followed him. That's it. Read it in Matthew chapter 9. Mark says, and he left all, as though he had so much to leave. Matthew don't even draw any attention to that. He just says, I got up. Matthew got up, and he just followed Jesus. And that's another sign of humility in his life. Not only did Matthew become a disciple or a follower, he became an apostle. Notice a little detail here as well. When Mark and Luke list the 12 names of the 12 apostles, they have Matthew at the top of the list. And they assume or couple his name with Thomas. When the list of the disciples are given in Mark and Luke, Matthew is always first and Thomas is always second. But guess what happens when you read Matthew's gospel record? First. And Matthew is second. Is that another testimony of humbleness and humility? When God enters a person's life, he changes that person's life and character. Even when they become an apostle, they're still willing to put others first and God first before them. He no doubt before he got saved was a me first person. Before Matthew became a Christian, it was all about getting that money. Matthew became a Christian, it was all about getting better, having more. Matthew to his house. Man, getting promoted. And I'm not trying to be unkind. I hope God blesses each and every one of you. And if God helps you win the lottery, which you shouldn't play, but if he does, then you remember little old me, okay? I like to have a nice little gadget and some boats and stuff like that, too. Get me a nice four-wheeler. Give me a Harley motorcycle, praise God. You remember those in need. I'm being serious. If you do, some of you play that lottery. Shame on you. But if you do get rich, remember us, okay? Be a blessing to God's people, praise the Lord. Oh, Matthew was a me-first person. Me first. Me first. Bigger, better, more, more. Put other, take away from others to make myself rich. Well, step on their head so I can get a step up. Guess what? That's exactly what we have in our country today. And that's exactly what sin will do. When you are not in a right order with God, you will not be in a right order with your fellow brother or sister upon this earth. And I'm not talking about those who are saved. I'm talking about those who are lost as well. Where's the civility? Where's the compassion? Where's the gentleness in the maturity, in the sharing of doors and holding doors open, in the yes, sir, and the no, ma'am, and the thank you, and the please? Listen, Matthew had it all backwards. But when Jesus passed by his table, praise God, all things are become new. Isn't there a verse in the Bible that says, he that is in Christ, help me out, church, is a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new. The gospel is what restores. You know what's going to help our country? If they find a vaccine, and we pray that they do for the coronavirus, we're still going to need to preach the gospel until it's back, friend. Think about how many children today are at home. There's no love. Maybe they've never even seen their father. Read the statistics. It's disturbing. It's alarming. Maybe they're in an abusive family. What's going to cure that? What's going to fix that, friend? I know someone that can come in. I know someone change the life of any sinner that would be willing to let him come in. Anybody that would be willing to receive, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Because of the restoration they had in the gospel. You know, now they're sitting in Matthew's having Jesus in his house. And he's got all these sinful people there. Together, and he's teaching them, and he's discipling them, and he's telling them about heaven and hell and how to live the Christian life. And Matthew's being a part of that, not just him, but all of that crowd. Man, that must have been a wonderful day for Matthew. Wonderful day for him. But I want to lastly close with this. Sister Andrew, if you'd come on, turn that keyboard up, get on that keyboard, sis, and let it go. Number three, would you note this? Their recognition with it. Did you put that thing together? You just get in it and you just trust that when you turn that stinking key, it's going to fire up. All you got to do is just maintain it. Don't break it. That's it. Just don't break the stinking thing. Hey, you didn't build that car. If I were to take a symbol of this Toyota right here, or that Toyota, or that Jeep right there, and brother, sure, we were to pile all these parts right here. Now, I want to say, Sister Vanessa, your car's right here. It's all disconnected. All your wires are loose. Your harness, everything's disconnected. Here's the key. Yeah, she's just scratched her head right there. Exactly. I don't know. If I said, brother, come on, you're really smart. You're a mechanic, an engineer. Here's all your car parts. Put it together. I understand there's four wheels. Some of that stuff's just above our pay grade. In salvation, you didn't have anything to do with it. It's above your pay grade. Yes, sir, that's right. Salvation is something that's above. Hey, that coronavirus, the vaccine, that's above your and I pay grade. But I'm praying to the one who controls the mind and the hands and gives men the power to understand knowledge and wisdom. I'm praying to him that he would intervene and work a miracle in our days and help us and stave off this virus. And it could be a lot worse, and I believe God to a large degree has heard and answered prayers. Who knows how bad this could have gotten if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit restraining evil in this world, as we talked about. Now I'm closing with it's very much like that illustration I gave you. It's past. You have to just believe in the gospel. Christ put it together. You've just got to receive the gift. He says, if you will take me the way that I am, I'm willing to take you, sinful and all, the way that you are. Don't worry about it. Come up and follow me. Jason, do you want to be saved? I do. If he would have said, well, hold on, I want to ask a question about this. Or what's your belief about abortion? Have the peace. Not be married today and have them families sitting in that car today and have the joy of the Lord in his heart striping the church's parking lot and being faithful and being a servant of God and being committed into the ministry. Not if he was asking questions, but he was willing to say yes. And he prayed and received Christ in his heart. You know what? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. Neither can he knoweth them, for their foolishness unto him. The natural man does not comprehend this book, even if he quoted the whole thing from cover to cover. He doesn't understand it. Why? Because it's a spiritual book. Yes, there are words and letters and commas and periods and sentences and trains of thoughts. Yes, there are illustrations and applications and doctrine. But ultimately, it is a spiritual book. And if you don't have the key, you don't have Christ within, then it's not going to make sense. You have to accept the key, my friend, as Sister Andrew begins to play. You have to accept the key, and that's Christ. He's the key. The cure to the sin virus. It's Jesus. You have to accept it and receive it. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. I preached the best that I could, church. I love you. But if your soul's all of this would be in vain. Maybe you cried. Even if your mom and dad's religious, that doesn't make you. You can go to the doctor, and if you've got a terminal illness and they've got the cure, let's say the vaccine to it, just because you say, hey, I think that vaccine, and I understand it, I think that would work for me. Put that in your system. It does you no good. If you say, well, my brothers and sisters came through and it changed their lives and that's awesome and great. Well, if you're a sinner, you're qualified. That's the one he came to save. That's the candidate he came to seek and to save. Ain't that right? If you're a sinner, you can be saved today. How do I get saved, preacher? Well, you have to believe that Jesus is God's son. You have to believe that he's his only savior. That he came into this world 2,000 years ago according to the will of God, the prophecies, as Brother just taught this morning in Sunday school hour, that he came and fulfilled all them prophecies just like God said he would. And God sent forth his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So listen, this is what happened. Christ came into this world. He lived a sinless life. He offered himself to be the Savior of the world, and we crucified him. He paid a price he didn't have to pay. He paid our sin debt on the cross. He paid your sin debt on the cross. Every sin you've ever committed, that's the sins you're going to commit today and the sins you're going to commit in the future. He paid it all. There is no sin Jesus did not pay for. But if you reject him, that's the sin of blasphemy. There's no forgiveness for that. There's no more offerings to be made. If you reject him, why, the earth may as well open. Call the hell right now. You might as well just sink down now. This will be the only heaven you'll ever experience. Would you be willing to say, Father, I'm a publican and sinner. I identify with this. I need to be saved. Come into my heart and life today. Help me, Lord, to be saved. I trust in Jesus. Savior. Thank you, God, for coming into my heart and saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. How do I live the Christian life? Well, that's what the church is for. That's what prayer's for. That's what your Bible's for. That's what for is to help you to develop into the Christian God wants you to be. If a baby's born, brothers, nourished, it'll die. And if you're not nourished, your new steps in Christ, the fire you have will die. You have to nourish it and feed it. Amen. It has been done, church. It has been done. Is there anybody out here today that for the first time in your life, the gospel, in Jesus in your heart, you believe you got saved today? You placed your faith and trust in Him. You do that. Stick your hand at the car and wave it at me. Anybody else out there? Anybody at all? Let me talk to you, church. How many of you want to live for the Lord in these last days with your whole heart? Would you show your hand? May God see those hands today. May God see those.